Is this your house or is this your house? If you need less of this and more of this, then you need to see the Peaceful Mind Specialist at Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas. Enhance your calm with a little help of your very own Bullfrog Spa. Bullfrog Spas are manufactured right here in Utah and offer a revolutionary hot tub experience that's inexpensive to run and easy to care for. Plus, you can customize your hot tub with Bullfrog Spa's exclusive interchangeable jetpack system. It gets even better because the Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas, they have a private testing room. You can get the swimsuits on to try out a Bullfrog Spa and choose your own therapeutic massage. So it's your choice. A peaceful mind, peaceful body, and peaceful home at Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas. 1333 East Red Hills Parkway. Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Lionsgate Recovery Center is a proud sponsor of The Kate Daly Show. Lionsgate Recovery. People in recovery, helping people find recovery.
At last, the Constitution is finished. But if a super-duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Here are a few highlights from my follow-up interview with Dr. Judy. What do you have to say to the people who have tried to minimize your involvement with HIV by stating that you were at the bottom of the totem pole, 13th author of a 13-member group of scientists?
Well, the 13th author is the senior author, so that means they're the most important author.
Why did you agree to retract your own XMRV paper?
The paper was actually force retracted. I was actually being held in jail.
You told me that you had financial offers to remain silent.
If you simply say you made a mistake and promise never to say another word, you can keep everything. You'll get all of your grants. You'll get everything back, millions of dollars. You'll get publication and funding. My lawyer said, that's the best offer you're going to get. I said, you don't understand me. I don't need an offer. I've already lost everything. If I thought even one child or one grandma was injured or killed because I didn't do something, that would have ended my life as I know it. There was no money you could ever pay me to get me to cover this up. I will never stop telling the truth.
That was Dr. Judy Mikovits, who we've had on the show twice, star of the movie Plandemic, and also outing Fauci and his henchmen in not only the flu vaccine, in the COVID vaccine. And so I have a huge show today. I just want to tell you, let's get that out of the way. I've got Chris Ann Hall today instead of tomorrow. Followed by Melissa Smith, who usually comes on in the next hour, and she's invited Harold Ziegler, who wrote the book about escaping communism. He will be coming on and talking to us about what we can do right now as these floodgates are sort of opening, it seems. Okay. In the third hour, we've got Susan. So we're going to be talking a lot more about the election in the rest of the show. But in this hour, I'm going to stay totally focused on giving you the key points. And I think this is going to be a fantastic hour for you to be able to walk away and go, okay, I really know what's going on now. Now, I did a video, and the video is up on rumble.com. You can look for The Kate Daly Show, and it's all about the vaccine evidence. But and that's fantastic because it's got so many clips and so many pieces attached to it. It's awesome. So look for that. YouTube already, of course, censored it. It's still up on Facebook, though, and you can get it on the Kate Daly Show page. But I'm going to play some really interesting clips for you and some pieces that are put together even by David Martin, Dr. David Martin. A friend gave me a clip and reviewing him. You know, he was also in the movie Plandemic. And he knows his stuff, Dr. David Martin. And so I really salute the whistleblowers out there, those that are coming into the forefront and saying what COVID actually is. Okay, so headline news today was that Our new number two globalist, the new lieutenant governor, I'm not even going to say her name. She doesn't even deserve it. She visited the Cedar City Health Department all masked up, as you can probably imagine, you know, really feeding the narrative. I doubt she wears it much more than just feeding the narrative. But she was there in you know, full black mask to offer up and to be excited about the first of more than a dozen stops she's planning to make throughout the state when it comes to the vaccine rollout. She's really there as a propaganda tool, Cedar City and St. George, as part of the, here we go, Moderna vaccine, you should be excited about this. So let's launch in because there's so much to peruse and go over. Here are some of the key points that I want to stay with you when you're describing this to somebody else. This is important. It's not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. There's no COVID in it. There's no dead COVID in it. There's no live sample of COVID in it. It absolutely has nothing to do with COVID. Traditional vaccines actually have the virus in them. What this is considered to be is gene therapy, but it's not even therapy. It's actually gene manipulation. Okay. Even the companies themselves call it gene therapy in their documentation. If you go and you look at Moderna's SEC government documentation, when becoming a company, had nothing to do with vaccines and everything to do with mRNA gene therapy. That's what the company was built and designed for, not a vaccine. I was reading through the document before the show. Okay. The government, also, if you think you're doing your part to help with herd immunity, you're not doing anything, actually, to help with anything, because they've already admitted that it has nothing to do with transmission and that they don't even know that it can do anything to stop transmission of anything. Why? Because COVID's not in it. That's the big secret. And I'll play this clip where Moderna actually admits this in October. Here you go.
When we start the deployment of this vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove that this vaccine reduces transmission. Do I believe it reduces transmission? Absolutely, yes. And I say this because of the science. But absent proof, I think it's important that we don't change behaviors solely on the basis of vaccination.
Absolutely no proof. Aren't looking for proof. Don't have any way to find the proof. Okay? Here is, I won't have time to play that clip, but I will have time. Well, I'll play the first part of this clip. It's very, very good. And it's David Martin talking about gene therapy. Here you go.
And the thing that's troubled me is that both Pfizer and Moderna have been promoting what they call a vaccine. Now, for those of you who don't really think about it, you have thought about it because the public thinks that when you say vaccine, one of at least two things is happening. First is, whatever you're getting is going to keep you from being infected by some sort of pathogen. So that's assumption number one. Assumption number two is that somehow or another, if you get that vaccine, somehow you're doing your public health bit to make sure that you don't transmit it to other people.
Yes.
Right? Am I going out on a limb here?
No, that's
the word vaccine. That's what kind of means that. And let's go back in history a little bit, shall we? Let's go back to 1905 to the very, 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 very famous Jacobson case in Massachusetts. The Supreme Court, 1905. And I'm going to read the quote because I think it's important. This court has more than once recognized as a fundamental principle that persons and property are subjected to all kinds of restraints and burdens in order to secure the general comfort, health, and prosperity of a state. So what the Supreme Court in Jacobson said was that the police powers, the public health powers, were legitimate if they secured the general comfort, health, and prosperity of the state. That implies that the individual benefit is superseded by a collective benefit. That somehow or another, The individual is not the point when it comes to public health laws. It's about the community, which would then suggest that to meet a vaccine public health standard and, quite frankly, a vaccine public health definition, something about either you are immune from getting a pathogen or, and potentially and, you are not going to transmit the pathogen must be part of what lives inside that definition.
Yes.
That's couldn't be straight more straightforward than the Supreme Court of the United States 1905, which, by the way, happens to be a decision that I have yet to even meet many attorneys who have bothered reading it. They talk about vaccine litigation, but I haven't heard many that can actually quote the majority opinion.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there only because I want to say this. We've talked on the show that even those that think they've read the opinion, our school board here will say they've read the opinion, their lawyers, they haven't. They better fire their lawyers. They're terrible lawyers. What it really means is that the guy was given a choice. Jacobson was given a choice between a $5 fine and a vaccine. But the point he's making is right, is that the decision was terrible because it's body autonomy. But they made the decision because of the fact that they believed that what they were taking into their body was actually going to help them under the definition of a vaccine. Okay? So if we're being sold gene therapy, which is also considered chemotherapy, if we're being sold gene therapy as a vaccine, it's a lie. It's a straight up lie. And the reason that I'm saying that is when I get to David Martin's end game, listen to this, because this goes along with what your state, why your state and why my state is in a state of emergency. Here you go.
Why do we keep hearing about vaccines? Ah, well, here's the reason I think we keep hearing about vaccines. And once again, my opinion here, people, this is not based on information that I have readily available, but it is my opinion. I think that if Anthony Fauci, if Moderna, if Pfizer, and if others, public health authorities around the country and around the world, actually called this gene therapy, chemotherapy, number one,
be realistic,
people wouldn't want to take it. And they wouldn't want to take it for a good reason. Because experimental gene therapy is a bad idea, no matter who it is, no matter when it is, no matter where it is. Experimental gene therapy should not be relentlessly and recklessly distributed to a population. That shouldn't happen. So that's number one. But number two is the 1986 liability exclusion. And this is what I think it really is. See, as long as Mr. Alex M. Azar, the director or the secretary of Department of Health and Human Services, as long as Alex Azar keeps the state of emergency going, as long as every governor and every mayor and every unelected official keeps the state of emergency going, under emergency use authorization rules, liability is a shield that's afforded to people like Pfizer and Moderna and others. So they're making billions of dollars on the back of something for which they have no liability. But if this was not a vaccine,
then
all of a sudden the liability shield would vanish.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there and also think about this, you know, the in the way that they're able to get out of a lot of their liability, right, with symptoms. It's not just about symptoms. It's also about them trying to get away with giving you something that's not a vaccine under the guise that it's a vaccine. Be right back. I'll explain more on that. And so will Dr. David Martin. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
My eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. We'll be talking about the election. McConnell confirming trial, impeachment, after the inauguration. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to Chris Ann Hall about this in the next hour. We'll also be talking about the legalities, their hell-bent revenge, their desperation, them being afraid. They're so afraid. And then also Harold Ziegler, who wrote the book on escaping communism. Melissa Smith joined me in the next hour as well. And then Susan Reeve will be talking about what's going on behind the scenes. What a loaded show today. But I want to get right back to Dr. David Martin, talking about this, because this was headline news locally, was all about the vaccine push. They're pushing this, and you might have a lot of relatives asking you, well, I think I'm going to go get it. I think I'm going to be safe and do my part. No, the virtue signaling is over, people. Doing your part, you're doing nothing but harming yourself. You're not doing anything for humanity, because there's has nothing to do with transmission. And let me play this one more time. Moderna absolutely admitting that it has nothing to do with transmission.
When we start the deployment of this vaccine, we will not have sufficient concrete data to prove that this vaccine reduces transmission. Do I believe it reduces transmission? Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
It doesn't matter if you believe it.
Because of the science.
Yeah.
But absent
it doesn't
proof,
matter.
I think it's important that we don't change behaviors solely on the basis of vaccination.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with transmission. So David Martin was explaining the end game and why our states are staying in a state of emergency. And that is to provide cover because of the fact that they are dressing this up and selling it as a vaccine, yet it's not. Okay. Now, I've got all the evidence on my side showing that it's not a vaccine. It is not a traditional vaccine. It's in all of their documentation. They weren't shy about admitting it in documentation, in their own documentation. Even the CDC says they don't have a sample of COVID. Okay. They know they're admitting it, and they're admitting it, I think, for liability. David Martin thinks the same thing. He also thinks that the state of emergency is to give the illusion that you can't press charges, that they're selling you something that it's not. COVID-19 is not a vaccine. It's gene therapy / actually chemotherapy. I know. Here's David Martin explaining the state of emergency.
Because there is not a liability shield under the 1986 Act for a medical countermeasure that is gene therapy. Mm. Which means we're probably having governors and the Health and Human Services and CDC and others maintaining the illusion of a state of emergency, not because there's a state of emergency. They're maintaining it because it maintains the illusion of the liability shield. Mm-hmm. Remember that if you suspended the state of emergency today, like, I don't know, if you're the governor of South Dakota and you ever have anybody who remotely cares about this matter listening to this video, lift the state of emergency, because on the day you do it, RT-PCR can't be used because RT-PCR is not a diagnostic. It has never been approved, and it does not and cannot diagnose and treat a disease.
He's talking about the PCR test. It can't diagnose a disease. So they're fraudulently diagnosing you with COVID, and then they're telling you you're taking a vaccine for COVID that's not a vaccine. It's a double whammy. This is why they have the illusion of the state emergency. This is why the Republicans aren't fighting it. Remember in August when they said that they wouldn't allow the Governor Herbert to continue on with the state of emergency, and now all of a sudden nobody cares that it goes month to month, and nobody really cares. Nobody cares.
Which means every time Bloomberg, Gates Foundation, and Zuckerberg Foundation COVID-19 dashboard reports that there is another case of COVID-19 because of a positive RT-PCR test, they are violating the 15 U.S. Code Federal Trade Commission Act. You cannot diagnose a thing that cannot diagnose a thing. That's a misrepresentation. That is a deceptive practice under the Federal Trade Commission Act. Mm. And they're liable for deceptive practices, because it turns out you do not have a waiver of liability under deceptive practices, even in a state of emergency.
So it's an illusion. In fact, the whole thing's an illusion. Take off the mask. It's been almost a year. Take it off. It's time. Stop the illusion. Please. You have an immune system and it works. It always has. It never stopped working. Look around you. death toll 2.4 million for 2020. They can't hide the death toll. Normally it's 2.7, 2.8. We're at 2.4. We don't have an excess of deaths due to COVID. They're from the same illnesses people were dying from before. Please take off the mask. Stop with the crazy. So I wanted to give you just a little bit more on Dr. Martin describing this, because it was honestly so good. So good on the gene therapy. Let's move ahead with that. All right, here we go. Here's more from David Martin, Dr. David Martin.
Out of Jacobson, which is a very dangerous problem that we have. But here's where it gets more interesting. So when Moderna was started, and if you go back and look at their SEC filings, and we've gone through all their SEC filings, they make a point of saying that their technology is a gene therapy technology. Gene therapy technology.
I've seen the documents.
It's
true.
They don't say vaccination. They actually say gene therapy technology. And it was set up to be a cancer treatment. So this is gene therapy chemotherapy. Hmm. Now let's just stop for a minute. Let's just ask the question. If Anthony Fauci got up and said to everybody, hey, we want you to take chemotherapy for the disease that you may or may not ever have.
Who'd put the hand up for that?
There wouldn't be a single person raising their hand.
No.
The prophylactic chemotherapy. You wouldn't be doing it. You know why you wouldn't be doing it? Because it's a dumb idea. That's why you wouldn't be doing it.
And it's toxic.
And states wouldn't be able to mandate it, and employers wouldn't be able to mandate. No employer would be able to mandate a chemotherapy for a disease that you don't have. Mm. That would not be a legal thing to do. But they called their technology gene therapy technology. They made a big point of saying that this was not investigational new drugs. This was gene therapy technology. This belonged in the Center for Biologics, potentially even the CDRH, the Center for Device and Radiologic Health. Because let's think about what they actually do. And by the way, this is super important. All the references are going to be in this video on the YouTube channel. And I'm going to put a bunch of the references actually in the comments section on Facebook Live so that you can go see this yourself. But what they're doing is they're putting together a synthetic fragment of nucleic acid. It's not mRNA. It's not natural. It's not even a natural component of a fragment. It's a synthetic fragment. It's a technology embedded within a fat carrier, a PEG carrier. And that is being introduced into the cell, not to induce a immunity from infection with a SARS-CoV virus, and it's not to block transmission of it. It's actually to lessen symptoms associated with the S1 spike protein, not even the virus itself. Yeah. So it gets better and or worse, depending on your point of view. The fact of the matter is, this thing is actually not a vaccination.
Very
now,
important.
Why would I say it's not a vaccination? People go, Dave, why would you say it's not a vaccination? Well, let's look at the legal standard for what a vaccination is. And let's start with the Center for Disease Control's own definitions. Why not start with the people who run the racket? Two important operative definitions. Immunity is protection from an infectious disease. Protection from an infectious disease. If you are immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. Now, by definition, neither Pfizer nor Moderna even claims that to be the case.
Yep. He's right on the money on that. It's very, very, very true. And he continues on. Here we go.
Enormous number of statutes that govern vaccines, which is actually a really interesting thing. But let's look at some examples. And I just pulled a couple examples from the Iowa code. Vaccine, and I'm quoting, means a specially prepared antigen administered to a person for the purpose of providing immunity. Immunity, once again,
immunity.
The operative definition, which is to say that when exposed to a pathogen, you are not susceptible. That's the Iowa code. But here comes a really big problem. The big problem is that if we look at the clinical trials that were approved for what was called the SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 vaccine program under the Operation Warp Speed. Listen very carefully to what the primary endpoint is. The primary endpoint is the prevention of symptomatic COVID-19 disease. Mm-hmm. Now, let's pause and unpack that. Starting with COVID-19 disease. At all, you know that in February, the World Health Organization and the CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services made a very clear distinction. They wanted to make sure that COVID-19, which was a series of clinical symptoms, which included things like fever, muscle pain, aches, loss of smell, certain radiologic findings in the lungs, a whole host of things. There's a laundry list of things that all got subsumed within this thing called COVID-19, which, by the way, has been now redefined as to PIC, which is pneumonia, influenza, COVID, as a combined set of things so that we can catch more people mm-hmm. allegedly dying of this thing. But COVID-19 disease is actually not a disease. It is a set of symptoms. Mm-hmm. And they were very clear on this, by the way. They tried to make a causal statement. They tried to say SARS-CoV-2 causes COVID-19, but then there was a tiny problem. Most of the people who tested positive using the RT-PCR method had no clinical presentation, which means you can't make a causal statement. You can't say the virus causes a disease because, unfortunately, most people with a positive PCR test for a fragment of what was called SARS-CoV-2 didn't have any problem. In fact, well over 80% had no problem, which then leads us to the question of, okay, so we can't say it's causal, but it's more problematic than this. The primary endpoint for the vaccine trial was actually not a vaccine endpoint. A vaccine endpoint has to do with immunity, and a vaccine endpoint has to do with transmissibility, and neither of those were measured. And it gets worse. And I'm quoting right now, straight out of Moderna's own statement. Key secondary endpoints include prevention of severe COVID-19 disease and prevention of infection by SARS-CoV-2. But here comes a tiny little problem. By their own admission in their clinical study, it was, and I'm quoting, impractical to measure infection. That's right. You heard me correctly.
Impractical.
It's impractical to measure infection. So there is no evidence inside the phase three clinical trials that any of the gene therapy had anything to do with the infection or not of SARS-CoV-2.
Yep, that was David Martin. And also, when your body can do something 99.9% of the time, why would you take a vaccine? Do not be pressured into this. Do not be pressured into this. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show, so much to share with you. I'm doing this hour really dedicated to the vaccine because I want to help you put some pieces together when talking to people about this. You can go to katedalyradio.com. The podcast will be up on this hour as well. But I played a lot of David Martin because he dials in on a couple of things. Number one, the illusion of the state emergency. The state emergency, yes, is real, but it's giving the illusion that anything can be done in the emergency and you can't sue because of the fact that they're trying to give you a vaccine, calling it a vaccine under the legal definition of the vaccine, but it's anything but. Has no COVID in it whatsoever. Live or dead sample, nothing. There's no COVID in this shot. And so it's called gene therapy, or I call it gene manipulation, since it's not really therapeutic. So, and when doctors try to lie to you about this, call them on it. I've read the SEC documents for Moderna. They're not a vaccine company. They're a gene therapy company. Also, your body can get through this 99.9% of the time without even a Tylenol. Whatever it is. I think it's just flu, but whatever it is. Okay. And nobody's forcing you right now. So you have a decision to make about this vaccine. This is an easy one. If even a quarter of what I brought up today on the show is true, let's just say you are skeptical. Why in the world would you take a chance? Is David Martin wrong? Are all these other doctors or 85,000 doctors all across Europe wrong? They're risking their careers and their lives to tell you the truth. Listen, you have a choice. You're not being forced yet. They're working on that. And these monsters in government, these disgusting globalist thugs in government, and in our state too, number one globalist, Cox, number two globalist, Deidre. You've got all these people that are running our state right now trying to feed you the fact that this is a vaccine and it's not a vaccine. But they'll stand there and tell you it is. And they get $94,000 for every positive case. It's a lot of money to be had. And quite frankly, they're hoary enough to take it. They don't care if they don't care, because why care? There are so many people in our community ready to pony up and take a test. They're not even sick. Just to find out if they have it. Do they need attention that bad? Is that why? Do they really need everyone to go, oh, you have COVID? Yeah, we've heard about that in the press. So I have evidence on my side showing what is true about this. Okay. The patent itself says common cold. Okay. Common cold patent itself. You can look it up online. But what do they have in their arsenal? They have talking heads, shiny plastic talking heads that tell you what they want them to tell you in the media. That's what they have on their side. Okay. So so if you're still stuck on vaccines and you still think vaccines are the end all be all, listen to Ed Haslam, who wrote the book, Dr. Mary's Monkey. Here you go. Whoops. Sorry about that. I've still got music playing. I know it happens once in a while. What can I say? Well, it is the grand illusion, though, isn't it? Okay, here's author Ed Haslam, his tremendous amount of research on the polio vaccine. If you're still stuck on vaccines and you still think this is a vaccine because they've said it that many times and they're trying to sell you this lie, this is what he has to say about the manipulation of the polio vaccine.
And they come back in 56 with another vaccine. Now, there's three flavors of polio. I'm going to call them heavy, medium, and light. Okay, Salk mm-hmm. said the only one that kills and cripples is polio heavy, right? So what we do is we drown that in formaldehyde. That kills it, and then we inject to your children. Sabin comes along, Albert Sabin comes along and says, well, you don't need to deal with polio heavy. That's dangerous, you know? Use polio light, because it does not kill or cripple, but it creates the same immune response. Mm-hmm. And so he pushes for polio light. And so the Sabin vaccine starts off in 56. It's initially a syringe, and later in 1960 becomes the famous sugar cube.
Sure.
Not the LSD sugar cube. But this is the big secret people don't know. All right. Both the Salk vaccine and the Sabin vaccine were grown on monkey kidney cells. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Polio virus just loves monkey kidney cells. And when they when they made the vaccine, they got all of the viruses that were in the monkey kidney cells in the vaccine. What happens right about that time in 57 is two researchers up at NIH/NCI, and they are Bernice Eddy, who did the vaccine safety testing, and Sarah Stewart, who happens to be one of Mary Sherman's friends because they went to the University of Chicago Medical School together. Sarah Stewart and Bernice Eddy discover a cancer-causing virus, and they name it polyoma. And this is really big news up inside the Beltway, because this was the first time somebody was able to say virus viruses can cause cancer. And so the funding started flowing, and people were able to get electron microscopes and start cataloging these viruses and stuff. And in about a year, they had cataloged enough monkey viruses, and they discovered this polyoma, which Stuart and Eddie had been using in hamsters and stuff, was originally from the Asian rhesus monkey, you know, which is from Asia. And they renamed it polyoma. Poly means many, oma means tumors. This one virus was able to cause different types of tumor in different types of mammals. Okay, and when they found it in the monkey, the official name, monkey's scientific name is simian, they renamed it simian virus number 40, or SV40 for short. If you Google that, you'll find a ton of information on the internet. And once they discovered that, Bernice Eddy went to the Cancer Society without the permission of her bosses and announced to them that this SV40 virus was in the cancer cell, I mean, in the liver, kidney cells, rather, that they had grown the polio virus on. Soon, they proved it was in the polio vaccine. And this was after they had already manufactured 200 million doses of the polio vaccine, and they had already released 100 million doses to the public. And this, in my opinion, is the biggest mistake in the history of government. The question is, what do you do? What did they do once they knew? And you do two things. First is you stamp it a national security secret because you don't want to be held accountable for it, which is why the Cancer Society starts telling everybody in the 60s that viruses cannot cause cancer. And they sold that one for 20 years. Bernice Eddy was trying to warn us about the contamination of the polio vaccine. That might be forecasting an epidemic of cancer. Well, do we have an epidemic of cancer in America today as a result of the contamination of the polio vaccine, as a result of the cancer-causing virus in the polio vaccine? We got back between 15 and 20 cases of cancer for every one case of polio, which is why we have the cancer epidemic today that we have.
Yep. That was Ed Haslam, the author of Dr. Murray's Monkey. What a fantastic book, fantastic guest we had on, and his research impeccable. Includes the research in the book, too. Ed Haslam talked about the manipulation of the polio vaccine, sending out half of the vaccines. They knew that they were infected, did not want to tell anyone, and then in 1970 we had the war on cancer. Nixon went war on cancer because four different types of cancer went through the roof. After this decade of people that had received these vaccines, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? So, can they lie? Yes. Will they lie? Yes. Are you pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine? I keep seeing this question. You know what I am? I'm a vaccine. I assess each and every vaccine. Why are they selling it to me? What's in it? Is it actually a vaccine? Because COVID is not actually a vaccine. It's gene therapy. What are they trying to sell me and why? How hard are they pushing? Why do they want to cram this down my throat? I look around and still I don't know anyone that's died of COVID. Churches were not drenched in desires and asks for blessings from COVID. Okay? You don't have people dying around you. We're not in a plague. The media is so powerful. It is so powerful that they have convinced you that we're in a plague and you need to wear a mask and you have to have a vaccine for something that you don't even know hardly anyone has even had. And if they've had it, they've probably been fine. And if they died from it, you should probably ask if it was actually COVID, because I'm going to guess it wasn't. The CDC already admitted only 6% of the deaths to COVID, and this is their own admission, which I think it's closer to zero, but 6% of all deaths of all cases are actually COVID, okay, which I think is flu C. Not A or B, C. C is rarely talked about. But anyway, the reason I tell you this is because no one's forcing you to take this right now. And how did they know we were going to go into these second waves? How did they know that they were going to put this whole, you can't go back to normal, your life's never going to be normal again? This is from the Corbett Report. Here you go.
This will be the new normal until a vaccine is developed.
As I said, normal, it will not be, at least until we had herd immunity and we have a vaccine.
So if we get the overwhelming majority of people taking the vaccine, and you have on the one hand an effective vaccine, on the other hand a high degree of uptake of the vaccine, we could start getting things back to relative normal as we get into the second and third quarter of the year, where people can start thinking about doing things that were too dangerous just months ago.
The only thing that will really allow life as we once knew it to resume is a vaccine.
This message has been repeated so frequently and so consistently by public health officials, political leaders, and media commentators that many have begun to believe it. And now, the public is being prepared for an unprecedented global vaccination campaign, taking the form of a military operation.
It is this effort that I can look you in the face and say to you, EUA comes. 24 hours later, vaccines will be distributed out to the American people and be ready for administration.
The plan is to rush a new generation of experimental vaccines to market and deliver them at warp speed before any long-term testing has even been attempted. What many do not yet understand, however, is that the vaccines that are being developed for SARS-CoV-2 are unlike any vaccines that have ever been used on the human population before. And, as radically different as these vaccines appear, they represent only the very beginning of a complete transformation of vaccine technology that is currently taking place in research labs across the planet.
All right, and then I leave you with this Pentagon presentation. Here you go.
Excuse me, on the left over here, we have
2005
individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene.
Okay, and here you go. This is the summary of it.
How would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed, the aerosol?
How are they going to disperse it? Aerosol?
The present
is what they
plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses, and we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach.
This is fascinating. What's the name of this proposal?
Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is the vaccine for religious fundamentalism.
And you have a proposal already?
The proposal has just been submitted, and I think that the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think it has great promise.
When did all the companies go on high overdrive after this presentation by the Pentagon in 2005? When did the companies go on high overdrive to kick into gear a new delivery system through gene therapy that they could call a vaccine that's not a vaccine? Around 2005. This is when all the companies really started getting involved. There's tape going back to MIT, clear back a decade ago, talking about how they were wishing to do it, wondering how they could do it. How can you remove the religious component of the brain, a gene that they dialed in and called the God gene? How can you remove that from people? They started working on it. They thought it was a great idea. They just used the flu and respiratory illnesses that would come along. What's COVID? There you go. I'll be right back with Chris Ann Hall, followed by Melissa Harold Ziegler, who escaped communism, what to do, how to prepare, and then also followed by Susan Reeve. Do not miss today's show. I'll be right back.